And this is Occupied Territory with Mike Feder. We're going to speak to somebody today at 1:30 who is one of the many workers that lost their job due to the influence and the investment and the manipulations of Bain Capital and their ex-CEO and still paid by them, featured player, Mr. Romney. So we're going to talk to somebody at 1:30 about that, a man who worked in a factory out in Illinois. Also, let's see, what else can I tell you before we get into the show in general? The show will be moving next week. If you listen live, the show will be moving to 2 p.m. next week, 2 p.m. on Thursday, same day, but 2 p.m., not 1 p.m. Of course, it's still on podcast. And that's about it for the moment, and we'll come back in a little bit. Okay, I just want to remind you all again that we're getting more and more action on our Facebook page, so please join us. Go to Occupied Territory. Just Google Occupied Territory on Facebook. Occupied Territory on Facebook. We have debates. We post videos. We post articles and some lively give and take on there. Today, I wanted to mention that if you live in New York City or the surrounding area, a place called United New York will sponsor a Batman supervillain to congratulate Romney on nomination. It says here, Bane, I guess if you watch the Batman movies, Bane is the latest, greatest villain in the Batman movies. It's also the name of Batman's nemesis, right, as well as Romney's private equity firm. The same day that Mitt Romney delivers his nomination acceptance speech, a giant 13-foot-tall monster will be delivering a press conference from the steps of Bain Capital in New York City. After several workers recount their real-life horror stories of working for Bain-owned businesses, Bain will detail how his economic, that is the monster, will detail how his economic approach of slashing incomes, destroying jobs, and gutting businesses will be applied to America as a whole. So where is this going to happen and when? It's going to be in front of Bain Capital headquarters, 57th Street and Madison, 57th and Madison. That is today at 12:30 p.m. So it's going on right now. If you want to join them, you might want to go down there. Or perhaps there's a live feed on. I can't give you exactly what that is. So who's been looking at the convention? I've been watching the convention. First of all, the media decided, that is to say the networks, I should say, not the media, the networks decided that they were only carrying 1 hour of the convention per evening because it is, you know, such a stage show. And so apparently so few people are interested in it compared to whatever, you know, teenage mom, the tennis tournament, whatever else is going on TV. So, but if you look at something, you look at Channel 13, that's PBS, or you look at MSNBC, which is what I'd watch sometimes. But it's interesting to see the difference between the way PBS and MSNBC covers it. MSNBC will point out, you have all these people on, Chris Matthews, Rachel Maddow, Chris Hayes, who's been on my show a lot of times on Sirius. These people will point, they're very intelligent people, right, these broadcasters and these hosts. Sorry. And they'll point out, you know, somebody will make a speech, some sort of great generalization, line of generalizations, you know, like, America needs to move forward, you know, we are broke, we can do it, we built it, whatever it is, the BS that's coming out of their mouth, and not one detail, not one actual fact, nothing, you know, unless, of course, it's a lie. So they're saying all this stuff, and this is what always gets me about the people on MSNBC, like Rachel Maddow and Chris Hayes and all these other people. They're very smart people. These people are very smart, but they seem to get one thing wrong all the time. They spend all their time analyzing these speeches, and I guess there's a reason for it. It's the same reason, like, I come on here, or I do my show, which is sort of a left-wing political show on Sirius XM, or I come on here. They point out exactly what the lies are, or the lack of logic, or who's being hypocritical and in what way and the details of it. And they'll correct, you know, they'll correct some giant lie that Paul Ryan told or Chris Christie or somebody else. And they'll point out how the public should be aware. You know what? What they don't seem to. Now, I understand this. The reason I understand this is because after a long time of trying to understand and to accept why it is that I keep doing this myself all these years, I've been doing it for almost 35 years now, a lot of this political stuff, and why I keep hammering away at it is because, first of all, I believe in pointing out what I believe to be the truth, and I want to have a better society the way I envision it, which is sort of more cooperative and not so top-down oriented, to put it mildly. But I do understand something that I don't think. And also, the other reason I do it is because, and I have to keep reminding myself of this, which is why I always say it's good for people to get in touch with me. If you listen to this show or any other show I do here, The Turning Point on Monday at 4 p.m., get in touch with me. Go to my website, FaderFiles, FederFiles.com, FaderFiles.com, and just contact me. Join my mailing list or contact me. Send me an email. And let me know that you're listening, or it doesn't even necessarily matter what you feel, but that you're listening. Because generally speaking, what I understand is, and I hear this from a lot of people who write me emails, is that you feel this way about the way the government is or the way the world is going. It's insane. It's predatory. They pay no attention to regular people. It's unjust. It's unfair. And that's, I can't even find the words to describe how awful it is, right? The way things are progressing. People are poisoning our environment. The government cooperates with them, or they're part of them. This kind of awfulness that goes on. And you feel it all the time, and you get into a state of rage, and then inevitably, rage leads to despair and ennui, and you just get fed up, and you just can't deal with it anymore. But it's nice to hear somebody, and I've had the same experience. It's nice to hear somebody who will speak out loud on some official thing like the radio or the TV what you're feeling. Now, you may, you know, tell other people about it in your family or tell people who you work with, but it's an encouraging thing to hear somebody on the radio or on TV or in print sometimes to just say exactly what you feel. With the same sense sometimes of hopefully intelligence, information, but passion and outrage. So that's why it's useful. But when I watch people on MSNBC, I feel like they don't get something very important. As smart as they are, and they are smart, and they are experienced, and they are great observers of things, Schultz, Matthews, Maddow, whatever, what they don't seem to get is they constantly will point out the inconsistency. The only one who gets it is one guy who's they have Al Sharpton, who is very smart and very, very sort of shrewd. And a lot of experience with public speaking, to put it mildly. But the one thing he understands better than the rest of them do, as smart as they are, is that it doesn't matter anymore in America. And especially it doesn't matter to the people at that convention and who the Republicans are appealing to for their vote. It doesn't matter whether anything makes sense anymore or is true anymore. Did it once matter? I'm not going to indulge in an entire program of comparative, the good old days versus now, whether people were smarter or more aware. But generally speaking, my observation is that, like in a kind of an arc or a graph, if you look at it over the last 50 years, which is the time since I was a teenager and I was paying attention to these things, people generally seem to be, I would say, less aware of what's really true. They don't. Their sense of reality has become so skewed that there is virtually no sense of reality. And the people in the Republican Party do tend, in general, to be people who pay less attention to what's real and what they believe should be. They are more religious as a group. They are fundamentalists, a lot of them, or they're more religious, which automatically means they're used to believing in something that has no proof. They don't really care whether or not something is true as much as whether or not it strikes some chord in them, which they can, you know, identify with. So if somebody is a charismatic figure, now that'll go across the board. But if somebody's a charismatic figure and says, as the Republicans do constantly, you can watch the two conventions comparatively, as I will be doing. One is almost wound up tonight, and then the other one will be starting. What is it, Monday, I think they're starting? And you will hear references to God maybe 50 times more at the Republican convention. These are God fearing people, God loving people, whatever the phrase is. They have faith. They also are authoritarians. There are many, many more authoritarian personalities in the Republican Party than in the Democratic Party. The people who run, manipulate, and direct the Republican Party, which is to say, you know, the power people, you know, in the party, the politicians and the corporate owners of the entire party, as in the other party, they understand this audience. They know this audience, just like the Nazis knew their German audience. The Germans were authoritarians. They were I don't know how they are now. It doesn't look like they're a little perverse now, thankfully, after all these generations. But the Germans were famous authoritarians, the most famous authoritarians aside from the Japanese, no mistake that they were allies, in the world, right? Whatever the emperor or the leader or the Führer or the head of this or the head of that said, that was true. That's what you believed in. And if you didn't believe it, you were you were anti-German, anti-Japanese. You were a bad German. You were a traitor. And that's the kind of personality. So you get people who are used to believing in things that don't exist or they can't see, but they have faith, right, in the Republican Party. And then you get people who are authoritarian types, who because somebody tells them to line up in a straight line, they do it. If somebody tells them that this is true or that's true, no matter whether it's true or not, they believe it. So you can lie, and that's what the people in MSNBC don't get. They live in this funny bubble. They're all very rich from being broadcasters. You know, what do they make, $5, $6, $7, $8 million a year over there? They're very rich. They live in a kind of bubble where the only people that they hang out with, the people that they associate with at work, their friends, are all brilliant people or very smart people. And have access to all sorts of knowledge. And they're interested in, as many liberals or left-wing people are, in thinking, in critical thinking. They don't just put their faith in something, and they like to prove whether it's true or not. They go a little too far in the other direction on MSNBC, where they will give, they will just ignore or give a break to Obama on all kinds of things that he shouldn't be given a break for. But, you know, so that's the way they are. But here's what gets to me is they will constantly point out, this is what they do almost all the time after one of these speeches. Romney gets up, Chris Christie gets up, some other, you know, flaming lunatic gets up there, or some bully boy or some liar or some fool. And Ryan is as crazy as they come. To me, Ryan is nothing but a complete psychopath. He's a little boy looking for a daddy, and he's got one in Romney, you know. He had his mother there at the convention. She looks like a nice lady. She worked hard in her life. But his real mother is Ayn Rand. So Paul Ryan is the out of wedlock, fourth parallel division child of George Romney, Bain Capital, and Ayn Rand. And he is a real strange character, Paul Ryan. Take a good look at this guy. He's got those weird hooded eyes. You know, the eyelashes come down of somebody who's got a stone psychopath, right? And he's got that fervor, that Boy Scout fervor to believe in Der Führer, the leader. Of course, he wants to be the leader. That's obvious. But so all of this illogic and lying and irrational craziness, right? All these speeches that they make there, and they bring God into it, and they lie about everything, take everything out of context. And all the commentators on MSNBC get on it. Well, he said that, and that's a lie. And this is a lie, and that's a lie. What they don't get is the people who the Republicans are talking to, especially at the convention, but also out in television land there, and who are going to vote for them, they don't care if anybody lies to them anymore. In fact, the mass of Americans, unless they are the mass of Americans in general, don't really care anymore what's true or what's a lie. Reality is not important, which basically means, I mean, if somebody walks into an emergency room and, you know, they're experiencing hallucinations, or people who get checked into mental hospitals, people who have serious mental disturbances, and don't I know about that, right? What you do is the main definition of somebody who's seriously disturbed or even en route to being or completely psychotic is the level to which they have wandered away from reality. We live in a psychotic country, and the Republicans know this, just the way the Nazis knew it about the Germans. We live in an authoritarian, and in, I'll throw in for the United States especially, an amusement trance-induced ignorance in this country. This country is so used to consuming things, especially certain kinds of technology that make their brains into oatmeal, that they don't function well anymore, right? They don't understand critical thinking. There is a whole other sort of generation now that uses the internet as an investigative tool, and God bless them because they're the only hope for the future. But it's, but generally speaking, people have been brain deadened by TV over the last 50 years. TV has destroyed, there is no calculator anywhere in the universe, even like, you know, the Swiss, you know, whoever developed these gigantic cyclotrons, whatever they're called now, where they can blast apart atoms, that wherever there is technology, no one has yet invented a calculator that could tally up the number of dead brain cells caused by television on the American American brain. So, but the Republicans know this. And whenever they sit in a room, and I'm sure they watch the MSNBC people, they're saying Rachel Maddow, Chris Matthews, you know, Chris Hayes, Ed Schultz. And he pointed this out that, you know, just last year he signed a bill saying just the opposite, or he just lied about that. Yeah, right. Who cares? But it is important, to say, for the same reason I said before, you need people to provide a sense of what's true and what's not true, even though it's now a very minority share of the public, and certainly a very minority share of the people who run the media. You still need something like that. You got to have people pointed out, but sometimes it's almost, it induces in me a sort of sadness to see all these bright, interesting, educated people point out that Ryan lied, or this is a big lie, or that's totally irrational. Yeah, right. It's the same trouble that the Social Democrats had in Europe in the 30s dealing with the Nazis and the fascists. The fascists and the Nazis in Europe didn't care about what was true or not. They just wanted to have something, and they took it or got it anywhere. If they lied, they would beat people up. They would manipulate numbers. They would make up numbers. The truth meant nothing to them. It was just the goal of grabbing whatever it is they wanted and killing anybody who got in their way. There's nothing more galling or irritating or frightening to people who are authoritarian or faith-based than the truth, than reality. They hate it. It's like Superman and Krypton. Nobody hates it more. Nobody hates the truth or reality more than fascists or people who just want to manipulate other people. And the Koch brothers and all these other big corporations who own the Republican Party. The Republican Party is merely, you know, like... President Obama has a press spokesperson. He has a, you know, whoever it is now, they change every year or something. Whoever the press spokesman is for the president, he comes on and he says, the president says, or the president means, or the president means to say, or the president has just declared. The Republican Party is the press spokesperson for rich corporations and rich people. That's clearly all they are. Unfortunately, the Democratic Party is about 90% the same thing, but they make it sound like they're not. So I watched the convention, and I have to tell you, and I want to be really honest with you here, right? Maybe it's an ethnic thing with me. I'm Jewish. Maybe it's some old DNA from growing up, my ancestors growing up in the desert or around the Mediterranean or whatever it was. I have to say, and I want to make this very clear, I'm watching the Republican convention. I do not get white Christian people. I do not. I cannot even sympathize with them. I don't identify what's going on in their minds. I don't know what they're doing at that convention. I look at their faces, fat, stupid, sweating, cheering, whatever it is they're doing there. I don't understand them at all. I have more common sympathy with Arabs out in the desert, people in Tahrir Square. I have more sympathy with anybody walking the street and screaming and yelling about austerity cutbacks in Spain or in Greece. And I identify with these people. You know what I don't get is people at that convention. These people are 180 degrees opposite from me. So I just want to say, at least qualify that I'm looking at it through some kind of strange filter. But the people I'm looking at the Republican convention, to me, they all look, and the people especially who are speaking, a guy like Chris Christie, they are essentially liars and hypocrites, and essentially also they're cowards. The Republicans are liars, and they're hypocrites, and they're cowards. And what do I mean by that? You get a guy like, what is the big thing? Now, they took something that President Obama said at some speech somewhere, and he was trying to describe that businesses aren't built all by themselves. That that businesses are dependent on public education, so their employees know how to even speak or write or know what they're doing, on public highways, so that whatever they make is delivered to markets or shipped to other places on public highways. That you know, the sidewalks outside their building where people walk on and come into their you know, into their offices are actually, you know, paid for by the city by taxes, right? That the government provides so much money, including huge amounts of stimulus money for businesses. The Small Business Administration provides, you know, billions of dollars over the years to businesses to get started. But they took this thing he said out of context, and he said it in an awkward and kind of like an elitist way. And he said to some, you know, he was at some company, he says, "You didn't build this." So they made that the phrase of the convention. You know, we built it. You know, you built it. All about business people and looking after yourself. And I understand that, right? But a guy like Chris Christie gets up there and makes a speech about you built it. The government didn't do that. You did it, you know? And their whole big thing is small government. Don't depend on the government. The government is evil. You know, we need to just give each other a hand up and no handouts. And the government is an evil thing, and nobody should benefit from the government. They should just make their own lives and work themselves and that kind of thing. And yet almost every one of these people got paid by the government, got educated by the government, and their whole lives wouldn't be anywhere near that rostrum or that podium if it wasn't for the government, either state, local, or federal government. Chris Christie gets up there, this big bully, you know, this bulldog of theirs. And Chris Christie, he mentioned in his speech about, you know, he wants small government, they want no government, they don't want people sucking on the government teat, blah, 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 blah. Chris Christie's father, he said in his speech, right? And of course, it doesn't matter. His father was educated on the GI Bill. What is that? A federal program. His father was educated on the GI Bill. He went to a public high school. The college he went to, Chris Christie, is half funded by government grants. He was a U.S. attorney in New Jersey, made $157,000 a year as a U.S. attorney in New Jersey. He had an office, and it's a very effective federal government post. He was a U.S. attorney. He was in the government. And good that we have U.S. attorneys. They go after, you know, they don't go after the bankers like they should, but they go after some pretty bad types, right? Drug dealers, criminals, gangs. And here's what happens if you work for the U.S. attorney's office like Chris Christie does, who's denouncing the government and getting money from the government and depending on the government. So he works for, first of all, he's the governor of New Jersey. Who pays him? New Jersey pays him. He's paid by taxes from the government of New Jersey. Let's see. What do we have? Oh, listen, this is what the governor of New Jersey gets. Christie is compensated $175,000 a year as the chief executive of New Jersey, topped only by the governors of New York, Illinois, and Michigan. Let's see. In addition to his salary, the New Jersey governor receives a $75,000 stipend, doesn't say what for, use of gubernatorial residences, a huge mansion in Princeton, and a use of the summer house at Island Beach. This guy's getting the equivalent of like $300,000 or $400,000 worth of pay, benefits, and property. And he's talking about not taking anything from the government. This is called insanity. And Chris Christie was educated publicly. He was educated by public schools. All of these people, you know, except that they were rich, like Romney, they went to public schools. And so this is what happens. If you work for the U.S. Attorney's Office, which Chris Christie did for several years, right, as the head U.S. attorney in I guess it's in the, I don't know, is it Second District or whatever in New Jersey. You get health insurance. You get life insurance. Government pays one-third of the cost of group term insurance. Retirement, something called FERS, F-E-R-S. It's a three-tiered plan which provides retirement, disability, and survivor benefits to employees and their dependents. You're, of course, you're earning Social Security, another nasty government program. You get, listen to this. If you work for the governor of New Jersey, that's Chris Christie, who's denouncing all government help, right, and government money. You get a transit subsidy. The transit subsidy program allows employees to be reimbursed for expenses incurred in utilizing public transportation for their daily commute to and from the office. Do you get paid? You listen to me now, right? Do you get paid to go back and forth to work? I don't. Most people don't. The governor of New Jersey and the people who work in the U.S. Attorney's Office, people like that, have limousines. If they take a train or if they take a car service or a bus or anything or they have a transit pass, it's paid for by their office, right? There are benefits, an array of benefits, opportunities to its employees. U.S. Attorney's Office recognizes, listen to this, it recognizes the need to support employees both at work and in their lives outside the workplace by providing both standard federal benefits and tailored departmental benefits, sick leave, annual leave, paid holidays, long health, long-term insurance care program, health care coverage, work-life programs. Benefits for people include family-friendly leave programs, dependent care support. So this big blustering son of a bitch who's denouncing government has been living off the government for, I don't know what, 15 years now. And Paul Ryan, who is the major guy who wants to, you know, throw government out of people's lives, or he wants to reduce government to the size of nothing, just pay essentially for some highways and for the military, which he wants to expand. Paul Ryan has been sucking off some organ or member of the government his entire adult life. This hypocritical, cowardly, lying son of a bitch has been sucking on the government teat his entire adult life. He was a lobbyist who worked with people who worked for the government. He has been a congressman for 14 years, and his family is supported by the federal government, has federal government health insurance. But he's denouncing the federal government for giving welfare and food stamps and excessive medical benefits to people who are poor and people who can't do for themselves or disabled or whatever, or old or whatever. So I guess I'm doing the same thing that the people on MSNBC did. You know, it's just extraordinary to me that these people, they're such astounding hypocrites. And yet, of course, the people who are going to vote for them, people at that convention, they got down there to leave their wives and to leave their husbands, to get laid, to go to strip clubs, to drink, to act like idiots. My favorite guy was a Republican I saw on TV the other night who had an elephant trunk on top of his nose, which looked basically like a big, long, erect gray penis, which was waving around in front of him. He had elephant ears on with big Mitt Romney buttons attached to them. And he was fat, he was sweating, and he was half drunk. And it's God bless America. That's what I got to say. So, meanwhile, let us move on. We're going to take a little musical break here, and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk to Tom Gallrap, who's with us, who is a worker who has lost his job thanks to Mitt Romney and Bain Capital. And we'll be back right after this. Okay, we have Mr. Gallrap. Tom Gallrap is on the line with us. Hiya.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, how you doing?
Oh, okay.
Are you back home now?
No, actually, we're traveling from Chicago back to Freeport right now.
Okay, so Freeport, Illinois is where you live, right?
Yes, yeah.
Which is
about 100 miles west of Chicago.
Oh, okay, so now I'm sort of located there. That you were down and visiting some activists down in Tampa called Romneyville, right?
Yes, we were there.
And you were there with some other people. Was it somebody else, too, from the plant that you worked at?
There were actually four of us down there.
Okay. And so where were you working? And you were working at this place now for 33 years, right?
Yeah, I actually am still employed for a little while longer. Mm-hmm. I work at a place called Sensata Technologies.
Sensata?
Sensata mm-hmm. Technologies. It's a Bain Capital company.
What do they do? I mean, what do they make?
We make transmission sensors for cars.
Okay.
Unless your car is a Ford, it probably has one of our transmission sensors in it.
And also, I was looking at some information about it. Used in aircraft as well sometimes?
They also do make some aircraft parts, but not as much as it's mostly automobile parts.
Now, Sensata,
if a part fails, your car's going to stop running. I mean, it's not like it's a visual thing. If this part fails in your car, it is going to stop running immediately.
So, Sensata, what company is that? Where are they from? Who are they?
They're actually a spinoff. They were a spinoff of Texas Instruments, and they're actually based out of the Netherlands, but their American office is in Attleboro, Massachusetts.
Okay, who owned the company before that? Who owned the factory before that? Who ran that?
Honeywell owned it before that, and they decided they wanted to get out of the automotive business, so they sold it to Sensata.
Okay, and now the majority owner of Sensata is who?
Mitt Romney, it would be, actually.
Now, he says, and except that he still gets paid by them, but he's not actually with the company on a daily basis, obviously, now, right? But it's Bain Capital, right?
Right, exactly.
Okay.
And, you know, he says, yeah, you're right. He says, oh, I don't have anything to do with it. I don't have anything to do with the operations of it. But the fact it remains that not only did he start it, and he put in place most of the management that run it to this day, and he makes... Like you said, he makes millions of dollars mm-hmm. off of his Bain investments, including actually making money from Sensata. You know, one of his investment things that he draws on is actually from Sensata. So he's making money off of my and 170 other people's jobs being moved to China.
So that is what's happening. In other words, so Bain Capital effectively is outsourcing your job and other people's jobs at this factory to China.
Yes, they are. And it's not like they can say, well, you know, we need to make a profit or we're going to go bankrupt, because these products have always made a lot of money, mm-hmm. and they always will. It's a very profitable product line. Sensata set a record last year for the largest profit margin they'd ever had, and yet that wasn't good enough for them. They have to pack up these 170 well-paying, highly technical manufacturing jobs and ship them off to China.
So presumably the reason they're doing that is that wasn't even enough profit, so they got to make more by
right.
By, yeah.
Right.
Okay.
There is no limit to the amount of money that they want to make, and they don't care what the effects of that are. You know, so they're in it for the bottom line, and they don't care what they have to do to increase that.
Well, when is it supposed to happen, by the way? I mean, you have the job now, but...
Yeah. Right. They are supposed to be completely out of the building by the end of January of next year, of 2013. Mm-hmm. Personally, my job is scheduled to be gone on November 2nd, which I find really ironic that on the following Monday after that, on November 5th, when I will go to sign up for unemployment benefits, is the day before Mitt Romney is wanting people to vote for him for president of the United States.
And he's running as the chief job creator.
Yes.
Yeah. No, that's good.
And that's kind of what started us going was on this protesting that we've been doing is – he was in Janesville, Wisconsin, where Paul Ryan is from, mm-hmm. standing behind a podium that said jobs is our top priority, and yet his company is shipping our job, well-paying jobs to China. And so the hypocrisy of this is, like, just absolutely amazing.
Yeah, not that people much care where he lives or who listens to him particularly. I mean, let me ask you this. So what are they giving you in terms of like a severance or benefits or anything?
Well, Well, conveniently, while the negotiations were going on between Honeywell and Sensata, Honeywell changed their severance package, which Sensata decided that they would honor, where, like, for me personally, my severance is going to be about half of what it would have been before.
Really?
So they, yeah.
And what about, like, pension you build up and other things? Or
fortunately, I have pension from Honeywell
okay.
that I'll be able to start drawing on next March, but it's not enough to live on. I mean, at least it will be some income,
right?
But certainly not enough that a person could live off of.
Well, what happens with health insurance?
Oh, that'll be gone out the window. And you know, I'm 54 years old, so health insurance for me is an extremely delicate issue because if something happens to me, you know, health-wise, which at my age could easily happen, well, that's the end, you know, that'd be the end of me financially.
So how many members of your family, I mean, you're married or what's it?
Fortunately for me, I only have to worry about myself.
Oh, okay.
I'm single and not married. But we have a load of single parents who work there, you know, with children, and it's like those are the people that are really going to be killed by the health insurance issue because, you know, if anybody that's been to a doctor knows that if you're paying for it out of your pocket and your child gets sick, you know, it's a large bill, and with no insurance, it's really going to be a large bill.
Yeah, well, don't we all know about that? You know, even if you do have health insurance, I have it through my wife. She works a 9-to-5 job, and she, you know, I'm on my wife's plan because I work freelance, but... You know, they just send the deductibles up and the copays anyhow. It doesn't really matter. There's no control.
Oh, sure.
So,
yeah.
But let me ask this question. So it's like a little devil's advocate question. I mean, people all over the world are people and they're hurting and they need to support their families. They need jobs. So a lot of people in China are going to get good jobs. You begrudge them that or what?
Well, certainly not. We don't hold it against people that work in China. They're Chinese workers. You know, we don't have a problem with them.
Mm-hmm.
Our problem is with these people that are only doing this for no other reason than to increase how much money they make.
So
you
it's,
know,
yeah.
one of the pieces of equipment has already been moved to China, a piece of equipment that took one person to run it in Freeport, Illinois, and it takes 13 people to run it in China.
Why is that?
We have no idea. Apparently, they just mailed it into pieces and they have people doing hand assembly instead of the automation that it was designed for.
And yet all of that will probably add up to less money in pay than you got.
Well, you know, if it does, it, you know.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
You know, they have to be paid something.
Right.
So, you know, it can't be that big of a savings for them. But, you know, the Chinese government built them a plant over there. And,
sure.
Well, and, you know, part of it also is, you know, a lot of these governments will say to these companies, you know, if you want to sell it in our country, you need to build it here.
Mm-hmm.
So these companies are going, okay, well, we can build what we're going to sell, let's say in China. We're going to build this at this plant in China, and then for every place else on the earth, we'll build them in Freeport, Illinois, or someplace in the United States.
Right.
Or they can package the whole thing up, move it to China, and build it all under this one roof, and you know that's one of their big things. You know, they want to do whatever they can do to save a dollar and build up their bank accounts.
Well, you know, you should have some sympathy for Mitt Romney. He's got to put a car elevator in his new mansion. So you know,
I wouldn't
be too hard on the guy. You know, everybody's got their problems. Were you in a union? Are you in a union?
No, we were not union. We had a very good working relationship with Honeywell up until the point in the when the person who ran the division we worked for no longer lived in Freeport.
Mm-hmm.
Once they no longer had a vested interest in the community, they decided that they were going to start outsourcing things and selling things out. So, you know, up until that point, we had a wonderful working relationship with Honeywell. And if we knew at that point what was going to happen, we would have and should have been unionized.
So what have you? I mean, here you are, just a regular person working at a plant, doing your job and making something important and useful. How political were you? Always political, somewhat political, not political.
I mean, I would talk about politics, and I went and voted and stuff like that. But I had never done any kind of political activity or anything even considered doing it until this happened. And the infuriation with the arrogance of some of these people that were not allowed to question what they do, and you're just supposed to allow business to do whatever business wants to, and what's good for business is good for America, and it's like, no, that's not the case.
So what actually have you done? I mean, petitions, active?
Okay, the first thing we do is we had the employees sign an open letter to Mitt Romney urging him to come to Freeport and save our jobs. We even offered to pay for his phone call to call Bain Capital and tell him not to do this. The Romney campaign repeatedly stated that they were unaware of the situation and that they would have no comment on it. So then we decided that we were going to hand deliver the open letter to Romney campaign offices in Fitchburg, Wisconsin, and in Davenport, Iowa, since he's not actively campaigning in Illinois. At both of those places, we were locked out, and they would not accept it. At the Fitchburg, Wisconsin office, they actually called the police on us.
They called the police.
You know, all we're doing is want to hand them a letter. You know, it's not like we want to, you know, do anything more than that.
Well, were you actually trespassing or what?
Well, we walked up to the door, you know, and knocked on the door, and they had the door locked.
And so they called the cops on you.
They called the cops on us, yeah. So then we had 35,000 signatures that we collected online urging Mitt Romney to come to Freeport to save these jobs. We took it to a Bain office in Evanston, Illinois.
Yeah.
Again, they locked the doors. So we decided we would crank it up even another notch, and we went to a Romney campaign event in Bettendorf, Iowa, where he was actually there. And we got in, and I was seven rows from the podium he was standing behind, and I asked him, would you come to Freeport, Illinois and help save these jobs? And we were forcibly removed, and while we were being removed, his supporters start their USA chant and start calling us communists.
So they're calling,
trying to save our jobs from going to China, and they're calling us communists.
Why do you think they do that?
They're taught that if anybody disagrees with them, that they should do this USA chant stuff they do, and that we must be some radicals because we don't agree that outsourcing of jobs overseas so rich people can get richer is a good thing. And it's like, no, it's not a good thing.
But some of the people at these rallies have to be people who are working people too, right?
Exactly.
So what is wrong with them?
There's two scenarios to why people why everybody doesn't support stopping outsourcing. Scenario one has to be they don't understand. They don't realize that people who work for a living, who have fairly decent jobs but are not getting rich, you know, we're not getting rich.
No.
You know, we're not trying to protect our Swiss bank accounts here. You know, we're trying to survive. And either they don't get that the average person lives check to check and doesn't have, you know, a bank account that has six digits or more in it.
But still, if some of them are middle class people,
they should
get it, right? Okay.
Right. And the other scenario is that they just don't give a darn about anybody else. So if they're doing well on their job and they don't want to admit the possibility that their job could be outsourced and they could end up like we are, where we're you know, there are no well-paying jobs in the area in which we live. I mean, the economy has really taken a hit. So for a lot of us, you know, bankruptcy is not just, you know, some worst-case scenario, mm-hmm. but it's a probable outcome of a lot of this. And, you know, we've got a lot of people who are really facing losing their houses, you know, or some other drastic change in their lifestyle.
Yeah, Mr. Romney has several houses. Maybe it's possible that you all could...
Maybe he could give us one of them.
Yeah, because he doesn't live in all of them at once, you know.
Right. You know, we could stay there while he's on one of his trips, you know. That, I mean, he lives in so many different states, you know.
What's it?
It just comes back to they don't understand, or they don't care.
One or both. So
yes.
the people who worked in your plant are still working there until November or December. Would you estimate that they were sort of Democrats or Republicans or half and half or what?
This area is extremely Republican.
Oh, really?
And yes. Hmm. And always has been. I mean, they have in my lifetime. I'm 54 years old. Mm-hmm. There has been one Democratic House member from the district that I live in, and he was in there for 2 years and was gone.
What about you? Are you identified as a Democrat, or Republican, Independent?
I am a Democrat. Mm-hmm. I have voted for Republicans in the past, but the Republicans I voted for in the past would not be welcome in the Republican Party of today.
The other people the other 169 workers, if they're probably the majority of them were and are Republicans, are they still going to vote Republican?
No.
Unless the
miracle happens that we're all hoping for, and that Mitt Romney comes to visit us mm-hmm. and says, I have contacted Bain Capital, and they've decided that this is not the right business decision, and we're moving these jobs, we're keeping these jobs here, and we're bringing back the ones we've already moved out. If he wants to do that, mm-hmm. he will get a lot of votes.
Okay, that makes sense.
Short of anything besides that, he will not get a lot of votes.
But they are, you know, there's all these, if you watch the convention, have you watched the convention?
As much of it as I can stomach without getting sick.
Yeah, I get that.
We were down in Tampa, and we were over by where a bunch of people were coming out of this Republican event mm-hmm. where they were having a lunch thing at this restaurant. And they walked by, and they walked by, and they walked by. And we commented, you know, the one thing all these people at this convention coming out of their head in common mm-hmm. was they don't look like us, you know.
What do they look like?
They're rich. They've got jewelry on that costs money, you know. They're wearing clothes that we couldn't pay, you know, we couldn't buy it with our life's, you know, our life's earnings probably.
Right.
You know, and if they're not like us, they don't have our value system, where you're out there and you're working hard and you're working to protect the other people you work with. You know, the people in this plant are not just coworkers. Mm-hmm. People in this plant are like family to us. We spend more time with them than we do with our own family.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, to see the heartbreak that goes on because these people's American dream mm-hmm. is being totally destroyed for some guy's bank account, it's like it's wrong on so many levels.
You know,
absolutely nothing right about it.
They use this phrase all the time. You know, watch the convention. I watch the convention, and I have the same feeling as you. I don't see anybody at that convention that particularly resembles somebody that I know or would know, or would even want to know. But they use this phrase all the time: the American dream.
Right.
What do you think they mean by it, and what do you think it is if it exists?
For us, it's having a decent, well-paying job where we can raise families and we can provide them with a better future, and through hard work and dedication to a job. for them, it's getting lower taxes and, you know, where should we go on our vacation this year, you know, among all these various choices and staying at these expensive resorts and stuff? Excuse me, but my future after November is I probably won't ever be able to go on vacation again because I'm going to be working a couple of minimum wage jobs somewhere. So their American dream and my American dream are drastically different.
Well, but since you defined it that way, and that's a good definition of it, I suppose, they actually say exactly that when they're standing up there on the podium. They define it the same way to the people, but I don't think that they really mean it when they're behind
closed doors. No, they don't mean it, because if they meant it, they would not support this outsourcing, not only outsourcing of jobs, but the jobs that aren't created in the United States anymore are these minimum wage jobs with no benefits, and people can't live off of that, and, you know, that's the future of everybody. And if nobody has money, they don't see that if nobody has money and nobody can buy things, that they're going to be hurt by that, too.
I wonder. They don't think about that. They live in, like, gated communities. They have private police forces. They have the police force. Even if it's not private, the police force takes care of them, and the fire department takes care of them first. And, you know, they can, they can sell everything they make or trade whatever is stock, whatever it is they do. They can do that all over the world. It's not really their problem, but it's eventually going to be their problem when you get 50 million Americans who are so poor that they're going to start actually looking at other people's houses for something to eat.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah. And we'll have no police because they will have cut local budgets to the point where all the police are laid off.
Which is already happening.
And then they'll whine about, well, you know, we're not getting our police protection. Oh, I'm sorry, you didn't want to pay taxes, so now you lost your police protection.
Well, I think the way things are, you know, we only have like a minute left. We've got to wrap it up. You've been listening to Tom Gallwrap, who is, one of the workers at a factory that makes sensors for cars and some for aircraft, and it's being closed down and shipped to China, and 170 people are losing their jobs, and this is due to Mitt Romney and Bain Capital. We only got about a minute left. Is there a place that you still have some hope, I suppose, one needs to have hope. Is there a place where people could go online to, like, sign a petition or to do something to connect with this somehow?
Yeah, if you go on Facebook and look for Save Our Jobs, there are links to online petitions and to other things there, and you can see everything we've been doing. And we would really appreciate if everybody would go on there and like us and spread the word that outsourcing of American jobs is not something that needs to be tolerated, and we need to strike and fight back against it.
Okay.
And if Mitt Romney doesn't want to save our jobs, then we'll have to make sure he's unemployed as well.
Yeah, well, that would be a nice thing. We'll see what happens. Listen, I feel bad for you, and I'm sorry this is happening, but I appreciate you coming on.
Well, thank you very much for your interest, and thank you to everybody for all their support. We've gotten a ton of support from everybody, and we really appreciate it.
Okay. Good luck with it.
Thank you very much.
Okay, we're about at the end of our program here. This is Occupied Territory with Mike Fader. Next week, if you listen live, we're on at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. But we're still available on podcast. And go right over to the Occupied Territory Facebook page if you want to comment on this or see what else is going on there. I guess that's about it for today. We're going to move from this sick killer clown circus over to Charlotte, where you'll see just as many protesters beat up by police or ignored by the media. And God bless America.